Hey guys, what's up? It's Jory here.
And it's your girl, Abby.
Woo!
What's going on?
Yes. Two Coach Girls are here. We're ready for 2022. Almost in like 5 days, which is insane.
I don't understand. I still think it's 2020. Like, I can't.
100%. 100%. It's 2020. Like, it's also crazy. It's like thinking back to 2020. Like, remember, we were like, this year is going to be the best year of our lives, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And then it comes and it's literally the biggest shit show of the world. But it's just crazy how you think you can predict what's going to happen in this amazing year and it doesn't happen. Okay. My little Dvar Torah.
I really thought we were going to bring back the 1920s, but apparently all we brought back was the 1918 plague. So there's that. We're going into another year of the plague. Nonetheless, me and Jory still managed to travel, which is
great.
We are for us.
Thank goodness. It's safe. But yeah, we've been traveling a ton. Abby was just in Florida. I'm in Florida right now. We're in Florida at the same time, but we're in different locations and couldn't meet each other because it was too far. I'm in Sarasota and Abby was in Miami. Classic. Miami's the best. I'm super jealous, actually. So tell me, what's up? What's up? How was your time there?
The trip was, first of all, it was very last minute. Like, my family was supposed to come to Israel, and then they had all these insane restrictions. So they were like, all right, like, fuck it, just come here. And my family agreed to take care of my niece for the week so that my sister could come into Florida, which was amazing because I don't think I've chilled with her alone since it's been like 4 years since she got married, and then she had a baby in June 2020. So it was just like this insane opportunity that I'm never gonna have again, but it was just incredible to be able to just like go to the beach together, go paddleboarding, biking, just like, and also like, I like, she doesn't party as much as I still do, but I was just like having hard seltzer on the beach and like chilling and reading all these trashy like thriller novels about like rich suburban women. I read like two in 1 week that she gave me. Oh my God. And we also like, I'm not going to trust my sister again because we racked up a crazy bill with food. I think we spent like together like close to $700 in 1 week.
What?
And
Where did you eat? Was it on your parents' card?
All the kosher restaurants in Miami. And like, Michal just like, she just was ordering whatever. And I was like, all right, like, yeah, like I'm on vacation. I didn't realize how much we were racking up until she's like, okay, here's the Venmo request. By the way, guys, I have a cough. I'm just clarifying. I tested negative for COVID. It's tomorrow I'm actually going to this isn't as exciting, but I'm going to a pulmonologist, I think it's called, to figure out what the deal is, because this isn't the first time this happened to me this year where I also test negative. But I'm just putting out there that I'm negative. During this episode, I'm just clarifying. Hope it doesn't ruin it for you guys. But yeah, so I didn't really like party at all, really, but it was nice because, you know, I got to leave early. It was nice. I felt good the next day. Like, I'm sure you get that too. Cause like Joy's with her parents also, and they're like not big drinkers. So I think it was kind of like a mature adult vacation. I mean, she's still there. So for both of us.
That's so nice to see like Miami in a different light, because I see like, was it still super fun? Because I only see Miami as like party, party, rah, rah, you know?
Yeah, it was still, yeah, you can, I mean, especially for New Yorkers, like we're going to Florida to escape the cold of New York. Like that's it. So
any good kosher restaurants that you ate at?
Yes. We went to Pizza Hut, which was a little expensive, Lenny's, but our favorite was actually, Jory, I don't know if you remember this, when me and you went with Yael when I was like 19. I don't know if you remember that trip that we did ages ago. We
Yeah.
went to Tasty Beach Cafe. Do you remember it? Do you remember
I
Tasty
totally
Beach
remember
Cafe?
it. Yes.
Okay, so we went there for so many different. We spent so much money there. It's insane. We got all the drinks, all the paninis. Like, what else? Like, just we ordered the whole menu. DJ Khaled was there, apparently. They posted it on their Instagram. He did a little cameo over there.
Tasty Beach?
Yeah, not when I was there. That would have been cool. But yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
They have everything there. They have like pasta, pizza, wraps, paninis, salads, like everything. I loved it.
Yeah. That's so those were the biggest decisions we had to make, what we were going to eat every day. That was life. And I'm just really appreciative, like I said, about getting to chill with my sister one on one, like when we were kids and we were in high
Yeah.
school and in college, because we also went to college together. So yeah, but life moves on
It's
and
crazy. Yeah,
yeah.
life does move on. And it, like, I'm finding out people like are having babies and they're like my age. Someone I used to, which is amazing, but Mazel Tov, I'm really happy for them. But it's
Yeah.
just crazy because like she's 25 or something, 26, and she used to be my old roommate, and she has a baby. And I'm like, it's just crazy. I just, sorry, I'm like just like shocked because I'm so not near that part of my life at
Yeah.
all to understand how to
Yeah.
change a diaper. I'm just kind of being okay with like seeing a baby and not like freaking out and like being
Yeah.
maybe okay to hold it at this point. Like, so
You
it's
just
just
like
wild.
I'm listening, changing a diaper isn't too hard. Like, it's nasty, but it's not like challenging. So, like, if
Okay.
that's what you're nervous about. But yeah, no,
Yeah,
I
that's
love
definitely.
your thing. Every time I see that someone like has a baby, I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? Are you a, like, I'm like, are you a teen mom? And then I realize I'm 25 and I'm like, oh, okay.
I know. We're older. I know. I really feel like I'm literally like a teenager. I act like a teenager when I'm with my parents. Yeah, so I'm in Florida too. I'm in Sarasota. Very like old, like a lot of old people. And like we have this gorgeous house in like a random area with a pool. It's super nice. We just came down here for 2 weeks. Literally has been straight chilling, like from the couch to the pool bed, to the pool, to the beach, to the couch again. It's been very chill staying inside. I mean, because of COVID and stuff. But you gotta love relaxing and having nothing to do, you know,
Yeah.
besides just watch trash TV. Speaking of trash TV, there's this really good Netflix show called 30 20 somethings, Austin.
Oh, I think I saw it, but I didn't realize it was reality TV. I thought it was like just a show.
It's like kind of reality. I, for some reason, really love it because there's this hot Jewish guy in it. But besides that, I just like, I feel like it's so realistic. Like the things that they're shooting isn't so like, I feel like staged, or if it is staged, it doesn't seem like it's staged. So I feel like so much like that I can relate to them. So side note, plug for Netflix show 20 somethings. They gave us like $10,000 to talk
Oh,
about it. So, you know,
yeah.
guys, listen. Listen, watch.
What's the hot Jewish guy's thing?
He's
Like,
trying to
what's
be
it
a stand-up comic, like a stand-up comedian. So he like moved to Austin to like try to figure it out. He's actually really bad, which is really funny. And he thinks he's like good, but you'll see him and you'll be like, "Oh my God, he's like totally my type." Like, well, he's definitely my type, but like I hope he'll be your type
like?
too.
Yeah. No, I was looking for a new show and I mean, yeah, I have one more week in New York, so
I know.
spend it with that. But yeah, the more I go to Florida, you like see, we're not even partying this time, like the more it makes sense to me why so many people retire there. It's just like the Sunshine State. It's a
It's
happy,
amazing.
happy place.
It's just so freaking nice and just chill. And everyone's like good vibes for the most part. You see a lot of crazies like you do everywhere. But
Yeah, like that's why they have lines about Florida Man. Like,
yeah,
Florida Man
exactly.
killed an alligator today. And like, it's always Florida
Yeah.
Man.
I know. But I love it. I really do. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I have two places I really want to live. And like after my New York stint, I'd love San Diego. or I love Miami, Florida. Or yeah, because it's warm, it's gorgeous, and there's juice. That's what I'm
okay. That makes sense. I didn't realize the New York stint was going to come to an end.
I know. Maybe we'll see. We'll see. Well, you don't even live in New York anymore, Abby.
I know. I'm like, why are you leaving New York? And I like left.
Okay. Well, we have someone amazing on soon that Abby and I both went to college with her. Her name is Claviva Friedman. And we're about to get into it right now. Thank you.
Hi, guys. We're back with Adriana Claviva Friedman, a very talented entertainment and culture journalist who we were also lucky enough to attend college with at Stern College for Knowledge. Claviva and I actually met living on the same floor freshman year, where my first impression of her was that she was a bitch. I cannot tell you why I thought that, but evidently I was super wrong, and we're still friends going strong. As a student, she interned at Elle, AOL Build, and off-Broadway shows, and since college, she's written for Cosmopolitan, Men's Health, and Esquire. In short, she's a media and pop culture queen. She's worked her butt off to get where she is, and we're insanely proud and excited to have her on the podcast. Hi, Chavivs! We're so excited!
Hey, what's up?
Hey, girl.
That sounded so weird. I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, totally casual here.
So nice that you're here. Okay, amazing. So
it's nice seeing you guys.
Yeah, right? It's been a minute. It's been like longer. It's been like years.
At least for Jory and I, it's been years. Abby, I don't even know what. Maybe pre-COVID? Oh, yeah, you came to visit me.
22 years. At work.
Yeah.
I was really excited. I was like, oh my God, I'm in a media office. This is so cool.
She told me about that too. She was so excited. I love
that. So funny. Years ago.
Well, congrats on such a successful career so far. Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you started off, I think I remember, as a business major, and then you switched to journalism. So, you know, what made you and like want to switch into writing and such?
Well, I've been writing since high school, actually. Like, there was a school newspaper. I went to Hafter and they didn't have a school newspaper for a while. And then I want to say it was my sophomore year, they decided to kind of resurrect their old newspaper. And I started writing for it pretty early on in high school. And that was always something I was doing, like still pop culture, actually, like whether it was something going on around where I was living, or like, I remember writing about going to California and seeing a taping of the Big Bang Theory. Like, I do not know why I wrote about it, but that's what happened. And then I remember, I think it had to be senior year. I went to see Newsies on Broadway and I was so certain I was going to be a stage manager. And because it was a manager, I was like, oh, business major. That makes sense. No, not the smartest idea at all. I ended up not liking it. I think I switched out of too many business classes at one point. It was like the management teacher did not like him. My mom says this a lot, actually. She says sometimes being in a major, you can literally get turned off and not want to go into that career by one class because of one professor. And it was this old professor, and he basically had an old school way of thinking. He was really rude and it was just too much. So I ended up having a conversation with my dad in Edenwalk, funny enough.
Love it.
I don't know what Edenwalk is. It's like this really gross Chinese place across the street from where we were living. I had dinner with him and he's like, well, Khabiba, you're not happy. Why are you staying in a major you're not happy with? And I'm like, oh, because you're going to make money, makes sense. And he's like, Khabiba, no, don't do that to yourself. And he's like, well, yeah. And basically he said to me, well, what do you like to do? And I said, well, I've always been writing. And he says, okay, so why don't you try that? And literally the next day, I switched my major at the register. I was like, screw this. I'm ripping up all the management papers, and ended up becoming a journalism major, which at Stern, it was me and seven other people, if I remember correctly, in the major. Because in Stern, the way it worked was there was the English department, you had the media studies department, and then that was subtracted into three separate departments within the media studies track. And it was basically saying you were an English major, taking mostly lit classes, but then you would take, I think I took maybe two or three journalism courses, and voila, I was a journalism major at that point. And they made you do an 100-hour internship.
Oh, amazing.
It was a whole thing. Yeah, but it was either you did it in the summer or you did it in school. And I ended up like just falling into this internship at Elle, like right. It was funny because it came out of the blue. My journalism professor came in and was like, oh, I heard that Elle's looking for a features intern. And I don't know why they were looking at YU. Like,
yeah,
who actually looks at YU? But it turned out that Oprah, the magazine, which is out of the same building, they took a lot of business majors in their marketing department. Mm. So it turned out that there were connections there. But yeah, my teacher came in and was like, yeah, this internship is open. I would recommend you apply. So I immediately was like, Elle Magazine, like, this is a big thing. Hello.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what Elle is. And at some point you've seen the covers. At some point you've read an interview that was in the magazine. And I ended up applying, and it was supposed to be for the summer. And a week after applying, I had an interview. 2 days later, got the internship.
Oh my God. But
yeah, it was really random, like super quick. And but the caveat was you had to take it in the spring. Like, they were not going to put you for the summer. You had to take it then or you would lose the opportunity. So I did that the spring semester of junior year, which I think was the year you two were graduating. It was 2017.
Probably.
Yeah.
So it was
off to the army.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was around that time. And it was just after Trump had become president.
Yeah.
So it was like totally nuts, and media was going crazy at that point. And Elle at that point was going in an interesting direction with politics versus fashion at that point. And yeah, that's kind of where it started. And it really just came down to, when you're not happy in a major that doesn't satisfy you, you have to go find what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Even if it's not going to make as much money. You know, I think as Jews, we're kind of taught you live in certain boxes of, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, you work in marketing, you're an accountant. And then when someone decides they want to do something different, it's like, oh no, we're going to shy away from it. We're lucky that Stern had these majors. But as I said, seven people, I graduated, there were two people in 2018 who graduated with the degree. So
it's basically insane. The whole thing. Two people? That's crazy.
Two people. Yeah. Wow. And I don't even think the other person went into journalism. I think it was just a degree that she liked. And she was good at it too. She was so good at it. And I don't know what happened. She might, be in journalism. I just know she's not living in New York. But
wow.
Yeah. Basically, it just turned into, do what makes you happy, even if it doesn't make you all the money.
Good. I'm really happy for you. I'm glad that you decided to stick it through. So at Elle, you like worked in the office, and you said you did the features. You were in the features. So what does that mean?
So with every magazine, there are different what are called verticals, and it's basically different sections. So at Elle, there would be fashion, there would be beauty, there would be features, which are these longer form stories. So it's sometimes features would be where the celebrity interviews would be.
Mm-hmm.
It would be where politics would be. It would be different stories that don't fit in
the everyday,
let's say fashion, exactly, okay, or news. They don't fit into that. So basically, I would get in every day, sit at a computer. You kind of get your assignments throughout the day, whether it would be transcribing an interview one of the journalists did, or updating something that was needed by an editor. You would attend weekly editorial meetings. So basically what that means is they would set up what's called a lineup for the entire week on Mondays. And what that means is, let's say a big interview they're trying to plan, when will it be published? Is there going to be a photo shoot? When do they need things in for editing? So it basically gets planned out so that you can hit your deadlines, especially if it's pegged to a big news story. So for example, if a movie comes out on a specific date, they plan this whole thing out so that the day the movie comes out, the interview's out. It's very specific and it's very timed.
Okay.
It's not just, oh, it comes out the same day. Oh, this looks like it's so planned. Like, no, everything from getting in the door to get the interview to actually having the interview to whether it needs photos with a photo shoot or you're going to get them sent by a publicist to editing. It's all pretty much timed to whatever you're trying to peg it to. So yeah, that's kind of what I did. The first thing I remember doing was, if I remember correctly, I don't know if I have it here, but it was an Anne Hathaway cover story. She hadn't done an interview in, I don't know how many years. It was around the time that Ocean's 8 was coming out. Was that the, is that the movie with just the girls. Women?
Yeah.
Ocean's 8. I'm like, it's not 11, 12, or 13. What's the number of the movie? And it was basically, I came in my first day and they're like, okay, Adriana, you have to now transcribe this 2.5 hour interview. And you're like, what the hell am I doing? Is this what I want to be doing with my life? Since that being 5 years ago, I've done that way many more times since then. And it doesn't get easier.
Okay.
But it's one of the experiences where you kind of humble yourself, because once you start hearing your own voice on these interviews, you kind of learn what you're saying, how you're saying something. If you say the word so many times, everything, you start nitpicking it. But it's something that every journalist has to do. It's kind of a rite of passage as an intern to sit and transcribe all these interviews. It's an experience. I was lucky that at the time they were, as I said, it was right after Trump became president. So they were doing this big women in DC issue, and being able to sit there and listen to all these different journalists who were interviewing, whether it was another political analyst or people who were actually in Congress sitting on the Hill, it kind of opens your mind to what ideas you can take and what directions you might want to go in your career. Because some people are really good and love the political side of things. That was never my beat, but you know, things like that. And you kind of have to learn while you're in the game, you know, when you're sitting at the desk, and you kind of have to do things you don't want to do, but it also leaves room to discover what you do want. And I was always fascinated by the celebrity features that they got. I remember transcribing, as I said, Anne Hathaway. Lorde had just released Royals, I think, or maybe it was a year after Royals, whatever it was. I transcribed her interview. There was Missy Elliott. There were so many people that you would not expect to sit and listen. And it kind of makes you realize, as much as we idolize them, they're just like us, sitting here having conversations. You know, wanting French toast
just like
at a restaurant, just like all of us who would sit and want French toast.
They're just like us.
Oh my god, it's what's that magazine? Is it Us Weekly where they have the just like us section and it's like a celebrity going shopping in a supermarket?
It's like hysterical.
Oh my god, I laugh at that. There's actually a really great Instagram account if you follow it. It's called Dumoi, D-U-X-M-O-I, and basically people just give celebrity tips, and it's like, this celebrity potentially is sleeping with this person, and they basically will give these like insider tips, and then it turns out 95% of the time they're right.
Oh my god,
but it's like,
I'm obsessed. People, I just followed
it's, you'll love it. It's so funny. And it's like on Sundays they do celebrity sighting of the week, and it's like people send in tips. So it'll be like, Sebastian Stan was out with some girl, and then someone else will DM back and will be like, that's not some girl, that's his longtime girlfriend, get with the times. It's so funny.
That's awesome.
So exactly, so that's kind of what I'm saying in terms of the directions you could take. Like, you could do celebrity gossip. I don't know who wants to sit and do that, but it's one of those things where you kind of just, once you're in the game, you can kind of figure out what direction you want to go in. Nor do you have to stay in it.
Do you have a lot more freedom now that you've been in it for a while? Like, do you have the freedom to come up with your own pieces? No?
I would say it depends. If you're working full time, yeah. And I think it depends on what section of the magazine, because I've done social media jobs, and doing social media, it's very hard to find time to write pieces because you're sitting and making sure that the magazine's social media looks good, or you're writing content for their Instagram page. So you sometimes don't have time to sit and come up with your own pieces, which that's super frustrating when that's what you want to do with your life. But again, it's also where the money is. But I would say it depends on what magazine you're at, depends on what the angle is always going to be, because you don't want to bring the same angle that has already been done like six times, you know, and that happens, especially when there have been times, like, for example, let's say there is a TV show. I'm going to use This Is Us because I love that show so much. And I love Milo Ventimiglia. He's amazing. Love that dude. Let's say I wanted to interview him, right? He has done so many interviews for This Is Us. It's now trying to find what's the new angle.
Yeah.
Right? Because the series is ending. That's, I think, January 4th is the season premiere. It's now, well, he's done six seasons of this show. He's played Jack Pearson. Great. What is the new angle that you're going to find that will intrigue someone to want to read it that isn't like, well, how do you feel about being on the show after six seasons? Like, what are you going to miss most about the show? Like, any journalist can say that. Anybody on Twitter can say that. Anybody on Instagram can say that. It's trying to find what is your angle and also how your own voice can be inserted into it. Because it's not just a story about them. You have to find your own way through it, too. That was one of the things I loved about profile writing in general, because you don't have to use direct quotes from someone to tell their story. Like, you can weave a narrative throughout their own narrative. Like, I remember last year interviewing Jacob Elordi, and his mom walked behind in the middle of the interview. Like, his mom just walked by casually because, you know, he's out in Australia 12 hours, not 12 hours, it's more than 12 hours ahead, but it was lunchtime for him. I'm sitting in this exact seat, exact background. It's like 10 o'clock at night. And his mom just walked by giving him lunch. That was it. Like, a good mom does. And I was like insistent when the editing came in. I was like, you have to put in his mom walked behind him to give him lunch. And my editor was like, no, I don't know if this is the best thing. And I said, no. It's going to humanize this dude. Like, people already think he's hot. We get
he's it. So hot. He's so oh my God. Hot. I'm looking at right now. I like was blanking on who he was, but yeah, I remember. How? This is so cool.
It was for The Kissing Booth too.
Okay.
He's so hot in The Kissing Booth. He's hotter in Euphoria, even though I know he's like a toxic boyfriend and everything, but
I've never seen Euphoria, actually. It's just I've never seen it.
It's not that good. I mean, I saw it for a bit, but I was just like, it was a little too dark, for me.
I don't know. There's something about it, whether it's not the performances. The performances are great, but I think it's that element of it's way too dark for it to be, I don't know. It's just not my thing. And I feel so bad because I've written about Euphoria and I'm like, not doing it. Like, can't watch it. But yeah, so I would say it's more about, it's yes, in terms of being able to pitch, but it's more about trying to find your own angle throughout that will sound interesting to readers instead of it being just a generic, let's talk to this guy, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think your Jacob one was like, he wants you to talk about more than just his body. And I'm like, okay, I got that he's a person. Fine.
No, that was okay. So that story, I came in with questions about what was your workout for The Kissing Booth too. And this guy just, and he didn't lose it, but he just was like, I can't talk about workouts. I didn't work out. Like, in the gist of it was like, he does not, he felt like he was being scrutinized for his body and not for his acting. And let's be honest, The Kissing Booth, not a good movie. Like, the acting is subpar.
No.
And like, no. But what was interesting about it was this guy who you forget, he outside of the body, like, he has a mind and he has thoughts and he has feelings about it. Like, we all sit there and we watch him on Instagram and we all go, wow, he's gorgeous, we want to date him. And he's just like, you're not seeing the real point of my job.
Yeah
and he had an interesting quote at the time. It was something along the lines of he did not want to look like The Rock in his 80s, so he just limited how much he worked out, if I remember correctly. It was also just, it was a year and a half ago, so I do not remember all the details, and he has since been on the cover of Men's Health, FYI.
Before we get into that, who has been your favorite celebrity to interview, and who is a celebrity that you would love to interview in the future? So first is, who's your favorite celebrity to interview? Has been.
That's okay. There. Okay, I'm gonna say 5 Seconds of Summer
because big fan. I didn't know that. That's so cool.
Yeah, that was the first interview I ever pitched at Men's Health. It was like day 3, and I was just like, yeah, so this band I really like, they're coming out with a new album and it's called Calm. And this was right before COVID. And it was this whole thing. It took about a month to get the interview secured, and it was over Zoom audio. No one knew what was going on. I have a feeling one of the band members I talked to had COVID, but I don't know. But it was an interesting interview because from a journalist's perspective, it actually had a moment of integrity that had to be seen through that, because at one point in the interview, the drummer, who I love him, he revealed just casually that he had been sober for 10 months. And like, you don't know what to do. It's never been anywhere in public. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening and I'm going through this interview. And I remember thinking, this would be great in the article, but at the same time, you don't want to just expose someone's very personal story.
Yeah.
Like, that's a personal thing to reveal, right? Like,
they got to do no it one their would way.
Exactly. So what I ended up doing, which I didn't tell my bosses, none of it. I was like, I'm just going to do this because I feel like this is what I have to do. I emailed the publicist and I said, hi, I just want to let you know, this came up in the interview. I sent a screenshot. I sent audio. I like cut the audio to that particular segment. And I said to the publicist, can you send a written confirmation that this is okay?
That's
like, just if this is not okay, I will take it out. My bosses have no idea. Okay. I got an email like an hour later and it was like, you have written confirmation to put it in your story. And it ended up being this whole thing of like, wow, people have integrity. And I remember it was the publicist happened to have worked for the record label that they were on at the time. I don't think they're on that label anymore. I think they've left since. But I just always remember that being a moment because she said, you know, most journalists don't do this. They don't go and reach out and say, look, this is what's on the record.
I don't want to screw this guy over. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what I think ideally mindset of people think journalists are. They just want to get the deets. They want to get the dirt. They want it to come out. They get their money and they get their fame of whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think in this case, it was hard because it was someone who's our age, right? Yeah. Like, they were, they're our age, mm-hmm. I think. And you kind of know from being around people your own age, you don't want to expose anybody, but you also don't want to say something that will potentially not just harm you, but harm their careers. And more so your career will be harmed than theirs. Like, let's be honest. When I published the story, I knew that what was being said was allowed and what was being said was appreciated, that there was trouble behind it. Like, I went through all that trouble to email the publicist, get written confirmation for just even, it was a sentence. It wasn't even like anything major. It was literally a sentence. But, you know, you want to make sure that everybody's okay. And I think a lot of journalists are like that. And unfortunately, the way media is today, we don't see that in a lot of it because we kind of see, well, this celebrity does this. I say celebrity because that's kind of where I'm at versus politics. But you see it a lot more there where they want to basically just get to what the politician is saying. And if they don't agree, they're going to make a whole big statement about it. If they do agree, it's a whole big statement. But again, as I've said in the beginning, we're all people and we all have thoughts and we all have feelings. And celebrities have to give a lot of trust to the journalists because, as I've said so many times, journalists can make or break careers. You know, it's happened so many times where, you know, there's an article from a really great journalist. Her name is Taffy Brodesser Ackner, if I remember that's her name. She writes for the New York Times. She wrote this profile, I want to say around the time A Star is Born came out, about Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. Is it a Bradley Cooper?
It's Bradley Cooper.
Hold on, I'm Googling.
Yeah.
Cooper, New York Times. I have to Google this because Yeah. And the headline says Bradley Cooper is not really into this profile. And she wrote it. And it's basically him just like blowing her off for the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
The New York Times. Like, you're blowing off the New York Times, right? Like, you're sitting there and you're giving BS answers. Listen, we all love Bradley Cooper, but
yeah,
it's not that she necessarily made or broke his career, but when that's the headline in the New York Times, some publicist will be like, oh, crap. Like, we have a problem here. And you want everybody to trust each other. It's a very trusting process that you have to go through. So my whole thing is have them trust me so that if I need them again, they're going to trust that what I say is going to be okay. And they feel comfortable enough saying whatever they feel the need to say. At the end of the day, we're all trying to get to the same thing, which is your face in a magazine. Let's figure it out. So yeah, I would say it's a lot of trust. And in terms of who I would love to interview, oh God, there's a list. I have a running list periodically.
Yeah. Okay. So do like that the top two.
In college, you were talking about 5 Seconds of Summer, and then you actually got to interview them. I remember you're like, I cannot believe you're interviewing them. So like the thing is, you actually have so many people like ahead of you that you're probably gonna get the opportunity. So like, I don't know. It's exciting.
That's so funny. I don't even remember being into 5 Seconds of Summer in high school, and definitely in high school, not in college. So that's cool. If I did mention it in college, I don't remember.
I remember.
Abby remembers. So it's true. It's true. You achieved your dreams. I'm so proud of you.
So
tell us who's the top couple ones, even though there's a lot.
Oh God. I don't know. I can't think of like the top, but the person that immediately comes to mind is Jonathan Bailey, who plays Anthony Bridgerton in Bridgerton.
Oh, yum. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm just like, I love this guy. I mean, he was in a show on Netflix that I love called Crashing, and great show, 6 episodes, 20 minutes each. You can get through it in a day. It is so good. So he happens to be just,
what is he doing now?
Really good in Bridgerton.
Yeah.
And season 2 is coming out in March. And I'm just like, oh God, that's the first person. And also Milo Ventimiglia always will come to the top of mind of like people I want to interview. It's funny because there have been times where I've wanted to interview someone at the time. And then looking back on it, I go, thank God I didn't interview you. Like, I'm okay with not interviewing, just based on my personal preferences for television or film. I'm just like, okay, I'm good. Like, okay, interesting. Or I remember there was an interview I did. This was like a month into Ben's health as well, with Darren Barnett from Never Have I Ever.
Yeah.
And he's very nice, but he gives the same interview to every outlet.
That's so annoying.
Oh my God.
And I remember thinking at the time, oh my God, I got this exclusive, like, hello, he does workouts and all this stuff. And then 3 days later, I get a text from a friend and they're like, did someone plagiarize you? I'm like, what are you talking about? And she sends me a link to another interview. I think it was Elle or something. And I was like, oh dang. And I got so mad over it. Like, I legitimately got so mad. But I mean, that's the luck of the draw. He's one where and thinking back, it's like great, but at the same time, you know.
He literally has a script.
You know what? There's something called media training, and celebrities are sometimes told to say specific things.
Yeah.
Or they're told not to say specific things. And if you're a good journalist, you can work around it and try and find a story based on whatever parameters they're not allowed to say. I remember an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where Khloe, Kim, Courtney, and Chris, or maybe, yeah, definitely those four. Don't remember if the Jenner girls were a part of it. They were in media training because apparently they just kept saying the wrong things in every interview.
You learn.
And, well, yeah, also at the time, this was, I want to say, like, maybe Kim had just married Kanye. I don't remember the episode exactly. I just remember they went through media training and it was the funniest thing. And I'm like, oh, so this is what happens on the other side of things. So yeah, I would say as far as people who I really want to interview, like right now, Milo and Jonathan Bailey, because I love them.
So now that you've been, you've got your foot in the door, you've been in it for a couple of years, I have two separate questions. First of all, what you would advise to women looking to get into your field, but also as a modern Orthodox Jewish woman, emphasis on modern. Remember, you're on Two Coast Girls. We're going to talk about Judaism. We want to know about what challenges you faced and how you dealt with them over the years. Take your time.
Questions. I have to think about the advice question because I never know what advice to give myself, let alone someone else. I would say in terms of challenges, I mean, I think the funny thing is being a Jew is not a problem in journalism at all. Like, you would be surprised at how many Jews are actually in mainstream magazines. Like, you would not know. Like, when I worked at Men's Health, there were 3 Jews. Like, you wouldn't have known. I would say being modern Orthodox, it's not necessarily a challenge as much as people don't understand it. You know, it's like, why are you taking off for a holiday? Like, what's this holiday? Like, why are you taking off a whole week to celebrate not eating bread? Like, what's the whole thing? You know, they don't understand it. And sometimes you have to explain it. And sometimes I have to think back of like, well, what did I learn like 10, 15 years ago? Actually, funny enough, I had to explain Sukkot a couple of months ago to my martial arts trainer. And I was like, wait, what do we do Sukkot for? Like, what is this holiday? Like, I did not remember. And that's the problem. It's because you're so ingrained in media, sometimes you forget the traditions you grew up with. And you forget that there are reasons for why you do things, you know? Or, you know, you can't necessarily go to a function because there's not going to be kosher food. Mm-hmm. You know, there have been times where I have not gone to an event because of that reason, or it's on Shabbat. And that's hard, right? Because sometimes you want to be able to be like everybody else. I find that very hard, where you want to be involved. You want to be in the community.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just can't. But I also will say I've found that people respect you for upholding what you believe in, versus like flip-flopping. There are people who flip-flop. I'm not one of those people. I'm like, if I have to be off for Shabbat, I'm off. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not to text me on Saturday.
I just want an issue,
I'm not handling
it. You won't answer.
No, literally, I turn my Slack off to not active, to pausing notifications. Saturday night, you can contact me. But no, I refuse. I'm not going to do it. I think there are times where you question whether you want to stay Orthodox because you see everybody else is doing something.
I know. It seems so fun. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes, like,
it does.
The events, they look so fun. Because sorry for cutting you off, but I had the same stitch with work where we were doing, like, a team event day. And, like, all the days were either they wanted to do Friday or Thursday, or just like everyone wanted to do Friday. And I'm like, I can't, guys, can we please do Thursday?
Exactly.
It's tough. You feel like the odd one out.
I think though, the beauty of it is they respect you because you have beliefs. Like, you're not saying to them, no, I don't want to hang out with you because I don't like you. It's like, there's a religious reason and they will never question. I will say, actually, funny enough, when I interned at the Forward, they questioned my Orthodoxy.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
the place where you got it was a Jewish publication.
Yep. They would fight me. And I'm like, what?
No.
Like, what's your point? It was so ridiculous. So I found that working in mainstream media, as long as you give them reason and you give them enough time to prepare behind you, they don't care at all. And I'm on my work computer, so my work notification goes off just saying something got published. But yeah, I would say, yeah, it's hard sometimes. And I definitely question it. And I think it's more just knowing your own beliefs and also understanding that no one's going to judge you in that world. I find a lot of people judge me in our world.
Exactly.
A lot harder.
Yep.
Because of what I said in the beginning. People don't understand when people want to go out of the box, you know? And I say this a lot when it comes to dating, that people want to put everybody in a box, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when you're modern. Modern girls in general, if you consider yourself like liberal modern, like, first of all, who knew that there were levels of modern orthodoxy in dating? This is a thing. Like Modox Machmir and liberal. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Okay. That's a whole other thing. And then it's like, oh, but what about covering your hair and not wearing pants? I'm like, okay, that's a whole other conversation because I get really riled up about it. as someone who's single and has never been in a relationship, like, you guys are fucking nuts. But I find that you don't have to put yourself in the box and they won't judge you. It's more, in our community, they will judge you for wanting to be out of the box, out of the norm,
of
whatever jobs. And I found that it's stern too. Out of
the box when it comes to that.
Sorry?
You're super out of the box, like career-wise, like we said.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think it took a long time to understand that it's okay to be out of the box. It does not mean I don't struggle while out of the box, because everybody tries to put you in a box. Mm-hmm. No matter what you want to do, they're going to put you in a box. Someone will. And I grew up in the Five Towns. And the Five Towns is literally a box in its own. Mm-hmm. And no one understands that you can be your own person. Like, everybody marries someone who knows of the Five Towns. They went to NCSY. All this different stuff that only if you're from the Five Towns, you understand it. Or you went to Stern. Like, literally.
Ooh.
Like, no one else understands this world of, like, wait, you didn't go to Camp Hask and you didn't meet a guy and you didn't get married to the guy that you met at Camp Hask on your first try? Like, what is this life?
Oh, my God.
Like, who are you? Or, wait, you didn't go to Israel? Wait, that's a horror. I'm like, what is this? You know, so that's unfortunately the way our world is.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with media, they don't judge you. And I'm going to say that a lot because you can't be judged. Not, the way media is, it's forming your own opinion. It's writing your own story. It's finding your own voice within things. And to find your own voice, you cannot be in a box. You know, you can kind of lean certain ways, but you will never find yourself within a certain box. I found at Cosmo, actually, that was the place where you can kind of explore a lot of different things because, you know, they're very much for the everyday type of woman, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember I was at my martial arts studio and the CFO, I was talking to him because I was paying for another set of lessons. And he asks me what I do for a living. I said, I'm a journalist. First of all, they all, like, everybody's eyes bug out. Like, across the board, they all go, oh, wait, where did you work? And I'm like, Cosmo. And at the time I was working there, and they're like, no, really, where do you work? Because, like, what Orthodox Jewish woman's working at Cosmo? And I said, no, I'm freelancing at Cosmo for 3 months. And he was like, wait, no, you're not. And I'm like, Google my name. It will come up. And then he realizes, he goes, oh, damn, you actually are working at Cosmo. I'm like, why would I be lying about Cosmo? Like, this is the most random thing. And he goes, so do you write about sex? I'm like, no, I'm an entertainment writer. And he goes, are you sure you don't write about sex? And I'm like, no, I don't. And the best part was my trainer comes up behind me. And I felt very odd about this afterwards, thinking about it at the time. It's like, okay, fly over. And he goes to my trainer, yo, did you know she works at Cosmo? You should be reading it. You'll get some good advice from it.
Oh, I'm like, my gosh.
So my point is, Jews are judging for that, but non-Jews won't even ask that question. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. So being modern hasn't necessarily been a challenge. Being Orthodox has only really been a challenge within our community. And I'm only speaking on my own experience. I'm not speaking on how anybody else, because there are Orthodox Jews in the industry. Mm-hmm. But my own experiences have been, I've found myself more judged by our community versus outside.
That sucks, but it sounds like you've also had like a lot of personal growth through it. I don't know. Like, you opened up a lot just now.
Thank you.
It makes me nuts. It makes me nuts. And this isn't like a new thing. Like, this is
it's not a new thing.
It's not. It's also just not a new conversation I've ever had. Oh. It's one that I notice so often, and one that is most closely associated with dating. But it happens with jobs too, where you're going to be judged no matter what you do, wear, dress, whatever it is. There's always going to be someone who doesn't like what you're doing. As long as you stand on your own feet and you're okay with it, I think that's where the respect comes in. Mm-hmm. And you just got to understand that you don't have to fit in within your own community to still be a part of it. Okay. And I'm struggling with trying to figure out that aspect of it. But I find within my own job, I have never had to question anybody's thoughts on it, whether people are anti-Semitic. I have never found that. I found basically everybody's okay with it, as long as there's an explanation and there's a reason and you can back it up. You know,
amazing.
State the truth. That's it.
Woo!
Hard thing in media, state the truth.
Exactly.
Cheers for figuring out who you are in your 20s, everyone.
There you go. I do have one last question. So where have you worked? So where are you working now? Because I know you're at Men's Health and you're at Town and Country now, or was that a little bit ago?
I never worked at Town and Country, actually. So I am currently freelancing.
Busting it on your...
Which is lovely. So I freelance at Esquire. So I know what you're looking at. I've never worked in Town and Country. My work has been syndicated by Town and Country, okay. Which means that basically, let's say, I'll give an example, Men's Health. I would write an X number of stories. If the story is popping off, meaning that a lot of people are getting to the story and they're reading it, other magazines within the parent company, which is Hearst, will take the story,
duplicate it
so it lives on their site and it looks like they wrote it, but they never actually wrote it. And that happens so often, you'd be so surprised. My work has been syndicated across Hearst quite a bit.
Amazing.
So yeah, listen, easy bylines. It's the easiest way to get a byline. It's like you write for one and then it's getting duplicated over and over and over. But yeah, so I currently am a Snapchat freelance writer for Esquire. So basically, if you look on their Snapchat Discover channel, they will always have a new story every day. So I write those stories. I've been doing it for 6 months.
Oh, and that's so fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now. So Esquire. What is Esquire?
Yes. Esquire is a men's magazine.
That's what I thought.
It's a culture magazine, basically.
Exactly. You've been writing a lot for the man. So, with Men's Health, too?
Well, yeah, I don't know how that happened. I genuinely don't know how that happened. People get very weirded out, but I'm also like, it's fun. It's different. You know, it's fun to write about celebrity thirst traps.
You probably learn a lot. A lot.
It depends. I think each magazine has their own way of being and each one has their own style. So yeah, depends.
So you do all the Snapchat stories.
So I think today's was recycled, which means I wasn't there when it was originally written.
Okay. So I'm going to look at
the majority of them.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
It's fun. Yeah. And it's done so differently. And the voice that is on Snapchat is so different than what lives on site. So basically, Esquire gears their Snapchat towards what we joke as the kids. It's Gen Z, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, we just call it the kids because they're literally children who are reading this stuff. Like, if it's not that, it's TikTok, which is so funny to think about because when I started 2 years ago, TikTok wasn't a thing.
Yeah, like, it wasn't a thing. Crazy. It wasn't a thing.
It was not a thing. And now everybody's on TikTok. And I'm like, why? Like, what's your point?
I'm on TikTok and I love it. And I'm not ashamed of it either.
I am too. I'm trying to do more, but it's like kind of hard to make them really, you want to make them good. You want to make everything look perfect. I know it's like 5 seconds, but like people do do a really good job on them.
I think it's people who have a lot of time. And if you have a lot of time, then you can take
the time,
the proper amount of effort. Yeah, exactly. Let's take the time to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's so hard, especially seeing these young kids who are becoming so famous, super, super rich from what? Doing dances? I seriously don't understand.
So it's like,
dances. It's, you have to get the algorithm. TikTok tailors to you the content that you like. I'm telling you. Okay.
I know. But I also see it as, I just see Charli D'Amelio and I'm like, why?
It should have been us.
Not me. I can't dance.
It should have been Abby and I.
It should have been you and Abby for sure. Not me. No. If you do like anything martial arts style, that's still not me. I can't do it. But I will say also with media, you need to find ways to avoid burnout. Burnout is so prevalent and it happens so quickly to so many people. Mm-hmm. You have to find outlets outside of work. I'm very bad about it. I will say doing martial arts 3 times a week has really made a difference on my mental health.
Amazing.
Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. You need to find ways to make yourself feel better so that you're not like sitting in a room all day and you're going, well, what's happening?
Yeah.
What am I doing? You know, we all have that issue, especially after the pandemic. Like, we're still in the pandemic. Like, you need to find ways to make yourself feel better. Mm-hmm. So that's one way I would say avoid burnout. That's the advice. Do things that make you happy.
Okay.
That's what I would say, because I spent way too long, and I still do. I'm really bad about it. I spent way too long thinking the job was going to be the security. And once the job came, I would find myself being able to date and I would find myself being able to move out so quickly. That didn't happen. I'm still living with my parents. My dad just went into remission from cancer. Things happen. So you can't just say that like the job is going to be the security. It's not. And no. I fell into a depression really early on in the first like 6 months of leaving school, because I thought I would have a job right away. I'd be able to move out. I'd be able to live in an apartment on, at the time it was Washington Heights, but like Upper West Side, you know, things like that. You want to have what everybody else is having. And you kind of sit there going, why is this not happening to me? But on the flip side, so many people don't know that part of the journey has been going through depression, like really hardcore depression too. So it's trying to find things to make yourself happy outside of the job. And I think that's something we can find across the board.
Yeah.
Like what will make us happy outside of sitting from 9 to 5 and what becomes essentially our entire life. You know, having those partners outside of school, outside of work, having those friendships, being able to feel comfortable to get out of your four walls. I think, especially in the last couple of months, if I didn't have martial arts, my mental health would be shit right now, just from the amount of times I moved magazines this year alone.
Huh.
So, and what, I'm 26. I've worked at 5 magazines. Like, that's nuts.
That's insane.
That's amazing. It's also a lot of experience. It's great names.
It is. But it's also just like never being able to
find stable. That's stability.
Exactly.
That's so interesting you're saying that, because I feel like you're like, once you find the job, I'm like, once I get married, then I will feel like I'm good. Do you know what I'm saying?
So
it's like once I get married, then I can start my life. That's what I'm thinking. But I can't think like that.
It's always the next thing.
Right? Yeah, fine. It's always the next thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I think we forget that we have to live in the moment a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Because we all have our life plans. Like, my personal life plan was I would have a job right out of school. I would have 3 boyfriends, be married by 25. Like, my thought in going to college, like, I'm going to have 3 boyfriends. Like, what the hell, Haviva? What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, Abby probably knows, because how many boys did I have crushes on? Like, too many.
It's so college. Hard.
It was not normal.
You can't plan. Like, you can't plan these things. Like, you want to, but you can't. I'm such a planner.
Same. I'm so type A. I'm also a Scorpio. So Scorpios live in their emotions and they're intense. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't go their way, they are stubborn as all hell.
Yeah.
And yeah. So trying to remember that you have to live in the moment is so hard. And that's one of the reasons I love martial arts, because you have to focus in just the moment. You have to know what you're doing in that moment. Otherwise, you can get badly injured, hence a broken hand 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. You have to remember to stay in the moment. And I think this is a Jewish thing, not just us. We're always taught to live for the next thing. And there's always this idea of chapters, right? Like, you have to live your life by a chapter. Like, there's childhood, then there's the bar bat mitzvah, then there's the adolescence, and then there's the college years, and then there's the marriage, and then there's having children, and then there's grandchildren, and then there's whatever else happens past the grandchildren. But like, living in the moment is so important, and I'm finding that so hard to do. But I think we all have to live like that. If we don't remember that element, then we're kind of all lost.
Yeah. Now we're going to move on to your dating life, but it's going to be fun. It's not going to be annoying. We are counting you. No. We're just
counting you.
Kosh girl of the week. We would like, if all the mans out there, all the nice Jewish boys, if you have liked hearing from Chaviva, first of all, we want to hear like more about you that you haven't told us. And then afterwards, what you're looking for in a guy.
I don't know. What is there about me? I don't know.
Like, what are you looking for in a guy? Which, like, in terms of dating, if you don't, what's your type?
What's my type? Apparently not available. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm thinking back to college of like every guy I've ever liked is like, they're not available. Why are you falling for them? Believe it, not a smart move. I think the one thing I need more than anything is, it's so funny because I've been presented with guys who everybody says is good for me, but they never, I need someone to challenge me, I think is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Because relationships are not about agreements all the time. It's not about being one way or another. It's always being on your toes, I find. Even in friendships, you need to always feel like you're interested in someone, right? So I need someone who can give me a challenge of like, wow, how am I going to grow as a person? How am I going to grow in this relationship? Mm-hmm. I think we don't think so much about that. You know, my mom always says there's something called like a what now factor, which usually happens after you get married. It's like, you're so obsessed with the ring and the marriage and the wedding and the this and the that, that you forget that there's a life the day after, or even as soon as you get to the hotel, excuse me, after the wedding.
That's such a good point.
Right? You want to have a partner who will not just make you want to be a better person, but challenge what you're thinking so that you can grow. And you know, it would be nice if they're funny and they're smart and they are interested in media. I've been on dates with guys who genuinely just don't watch TV. And I'm like, well, my job is to live on Netflix. So that's fun. you have to be interested in movies and TV because this is my life.
Yeah.
I also think loyalty is a big thing. I think that is something that I find very personal. I find trust is really important. I think being a big family person is important too. I come from, my immediate family is just me and my brother and my parents, clearly, but we're a family of four. That's a very small family. Mm-hmm. And I want to be with someone who has, you know, a very close-knit family and has cousins and aunts and uncles and, you know, people around where you're not just so lonely all the time. And I'm very lucky. I have a really good relationship with my cousins on my dad's side. Like, I'm very close to them. But yeah, I think that's really it. Someone who will challenge me and make me want to think differently or find different ways of thinking instead of just always being, well, this way or that way. Like, kind of give me a middle. I don't know. I feel like that's a really existential answer. If you're nice, That would really help too.
No.
You're allowed to have, you know, qualifications, and
you're nice.
It's important. We usually, I like your answer because I feel like a lot of times it's fairly like, okay, I wanted to have brown hair. I wanted to work in this type of field. I wanted to be like X, Y, and Z. And I like how it's more, it's more real, and it's the truth. It's what it's needed. It's not just superficial. And
it did, yeah, it didn't come out of nowhere. Also, initially I was like, oh, you need to be this way, that way, this way, that way. And I bring up my martial arts trainer a lot because I see him 3 times a week. And I'm like, if only you were Jewish.
Ah!
If only you were Jewish.
The struggle.
The struggle is so real. It's actually nuts. It's like, talk about when you are not looking and you see someone and you're like, fuck. No. But he says it a lot too. It's just finding people who understand you, right? Like, where you don't have to explain yourself. It's really important to not feel like you need to constantly have to explain why you do something, how you do something, what's the point of doing something, you know, feeling comfortable in your own skin, which will lead to challenges, which, you know, because if you're comfortable in your own skin, it means the other person will be comfortable as well. And that will lead to, you know, it's not just an argument of, that's going to be of like this. It could be like this. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I want. I want growth, not just that. And funny enough, it's always from the not Jewish guys who give you the really good advice. They give really good advice.
Oh, it's so annoying.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay, but it's okay.
So... if our listeners want to find you on the socials, where can they find you? Just let us know every single corner of the internet that they can find you on.
I have a Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. AC Friedman on Instagram, AC underscore Friedman on Twitter. Facebook, that's private, so don't find me there.
Thanks so much for being on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really surprised. Like, as I said, it's always nice to see you guys and talk and chat. And
yeah.
Been very invigorating. We love you.
Love you. Bye, everyone. Bye.